the SIU advocate, Mutibi, is on the platform. Can you confirm that, Andre? Mr. Hermans?
Chair, he's on the platform.
Okay.
On the platform.
Okay, thank you very much. Can I hand over to you to conclude, advocate?
Thank you very much, Chair. Once more, we apologize. We've checked with our technicians. We were not aware of any scheduled load shedding, but it looks like it's a problem in our local area here. So the municipal officers are looking at it. We have tried now to go on a different network. We are using the router. Hopefully we will not be kicked out. And thank you for the indulgence. I'll just conclude, Chair, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I was on the point that says, over and above the processes internal to the NLC that may require some review, we've also observed that it may be that the auditing process perhaps is not as effective as it should be, in which case, because the audit would probably be meant to audit the project and make sure that the monies are used for the purposes intended. But as the evidence has pointed out, that most of those monies that were granted were not used for the purposes intended. It could be that it's owed to the hijacking process, but we will unpack that. Lastly, we have just observed just a measure of maladministration in the approval of grants. So that part also we will articulate in the report. Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, the skills that we have deployed in this investigations, they vary from various skills, investigative, forensic accountants, cyber analysts, and those are the skills legal, they've helped us to come to the findings that we have come to. But we need to just acknowledge the role played by our peers in the law enforcement agencies like the FIC, where we need to really access some of the financial intelligence information. They've really been helpful in the process. So all we need to really continue to do is to continue to find all these irregularities, all the corruption, follow the money, freeze the assets, and make sure that the other processes, where there's criminality, actions that are taken, where there's irregularities, officials are disciplined, and other regulatory authorities also take action. Chair, I want to pause here and thank you very much for the opportunity for us to present. That is the end of our presentation.
Thank you very much, Advocate, and your team for taking the time out of your busy schedules to come and update us. On the 7th of December, we agreed as this portfolio committee that we would request you to come and brief the committee on an update and give us an update on your investigations, and you have done so. So, given the gross corruption, the gross level of corruption and maladministration at NLC, the minister is not part of the portfolio committee, and you were requested to come to the portfolio committee. So we will, as soon as we receive the completed report, phase one in March, and you said that report will be with the president in April, that we call the minister and his department to come and account to the portfolio committee on action that the department has taken, because we can see in the period under investigation there has been widespread corruption. So let me hand over to the portfolio committee. I see two hands. I see Honourable Cuthbert. And then I see Honourable McPherson and Mohase and Yako. So That's the first round. Let us proceed. Honourable Cuthbert.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable Chair, I'd like to start off by thanking the SIU for their sterling work. I think they really are one of the few crime-fighting agencies that does their job with pride, and you can see it in their presentation, as well as the immense effort they went into putting all the detail together for this particular presentation. So thank you to them, and thank you for the good work that they do. However, I must say it's disappointing that both the Minister and the NLT's leadership have not chosen to attend this meeting. It just reinforces the point that they are and never were serious about fighting corruption at the NLT. Chair, the only reason we sit here today is because of the hard work of investigative journalists and the opposition for consistently exposing corruption at the organisation and applying pressure on governments to act. I really wonder what it's like to be an ANC member today and to see how money meant for drug rehabilitation centres, old age homes and women and youth empowerment has been used for luxury cars and homes. Chair, this is all whilst the ANC sat and smeared journalists, tried to silence the opposition and make sure that we did not uncover the rot. I think that it's really a day of reckoning for these members, and I sincerely hope that their consciences are speaking to them today and the fact that they decided to cover this up for as many years as they did. Chair, in saying that, there's some questions that I would like to pose to the SIU. If they would kindly answer them. The first one is, what is the total value of funds that have allegedly been misappropriated to stolen during the first phase of this investigation? So the total amount for the 12 investigations you've spoken to about us today. And then, what has there anything that has been handed over to the Hawks or to the NPA thus far? I understand that there was... Sorry, there's something in the background there. My apologies. I just want to find out if there's anything that has been handed over to the Hawks or to the NPA, aside from the preservation order that was instituted a couple of weeks ago. And then I would like to also find out what the role of the remaining NLC senior official and board members has been in assisting with their investigation. And also, have they been helpful or obstructive in that regard? And then I would also like to understand, you know, considering the fact that NLC has received clean audits by default over a number of years from the Auditor General, despite the industrial looting taking place, what recommendations would you have for them to strengthen financial controls and obviously eliminate corruption at the end of the day? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Cuthbert. Honourable McPherson.
Thanks, Chair, and really it is, I think, the culmination of a very long journey and a very long road that many people have walked on this issue. And I really want to echo the sentiments of Honourable Cuthbert that really we would not be in the position that we are today if it wasn't for the very brave work that many journalists did in exposing the rot. And I think that we must particularly make mention of a gentleman by the name of Mr. Raymond Joseph, who at many times put his own life on the line to expose the rot that we see today. And I think that we owe him a great deal of gratitude for ventilating many, many of these issues in the public domain, despite the disgusting attacks that he came under by the National Lotteries Commission, despite the disgusting attacks that he was subjected to by members of this committee and accusations that he was subjected to. And I think that all those that have played a big role in exposing this corruption should definitely be honoured. But this sort of corruption, Chair, does not take place in isolation. It cannot take place in its own, and it cannot take place without being abled and abetted. And regrettably, this committee and members of this committee and previous ministers have allowed what we see today to take place over a seven-year period. And that's how long it's actually been. People have stood by and watched and refused to act. It started in 2015, Chair, when the then former minister, Rob Davies, enacted and enabled proactive funding And that is the root cause and the root vehicle that all of this corruption has taken place. And I warned then, and I made a written submission to him on it, that this would lead to corruption, it would lead to a lack of transparency, and it would end in disaster. And it was completely ignored and rebuffed, and we now see the result of that. In 2017, the then committee, the Trade and Industry Committee of the Fifth Parliament, I specifically, once these allegations started coming out, and once Mr. Joseph's reports had started to come into the public domain, said that we should call the leadership of the NLC to the committee and specifically speak to what was then the first instance of corruption revolving Denze. The ANC members of the committee voted against that. I then brought to the committee that the committee itself should investigate the allegations into corruption. Again, the ANC members of the committee voted against that. ANC members of the committee did not want the public release of beneficiaries. They stalled. They aided and abetted at every step of the way those that are now corrupt within the NLC. And really, while we can talk about better financial controls and better procedures within the NLC, we really have to ask ourselves, what oversight role did this committee play? And how did it enable so much money to be looted and stolen from the NLC at the expense of mostly poor black people, the very constituents that members of this committee claim to represent? And quite frankly, I think that this committee should do some soul searching and reflect on how we got to this position. Because if this committee does not want to change its ways, and if members of the governing party want to continue to protect what is so blatantly wrong and illegal, well, then we're just going to get back to the same position, and it will be another entity, and it will be other members of those entities that will be doing exactly the same. And I hope, and my real request of the SIU and law enforcement agencies, at the end of the day, that people see the inside of jail cells, because that's actually what matters. Because there are people that are implicated in this, that members of this committee fought for to be the chair of the NLC. They wanted to extend contracts. They wanted to allow them to stay on, to allow that corruption to take place. And it was only the opposition and members of the opposition in this committee that fought against it, and sadly, we lost those battles. But again, it was the governing party at the forefront of allowing all of this to take place. So, Chair, I really do want to thank you personally for allowing this issue to come to the forefront now, for allowing the committee to discuss this. But quite frankly, members before you really need to be held accountable as well, as much as we want to hold those in the NLC accountable. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable McPherson. Honourable Yaku. Sorry, first Honourable Moatse and then Honourable Yaku. Honourable Moatse.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me start by apologizing for the poor network. I can't be able to open the video. And then, Chairperson, let me welcome the report from the SIU, and thank the SIU for the comprehensive report, and wish the SIU every success, a very success, that every bit of wrongdoings is fully exposed and every cent of public money is fully accounted for or recovered. Chairperson, as the ANC-led government, one of our core mandates is to fight corruption. I have two clarity seeking questions, Chairperson. Has the SIU in its investigations found any wrongdoings on the side of the attorneys who received the vast amounts of money in that trust account? If so, have the such attorneys been reported to the Legal Practice Council? If not, why? Secondly, Chairperson, if would it be correct to say, had it not been for the support received from the minister and his efforts, your work would have been much difficult to start and reach the advanced stage they are at now? Chairperson, as the ANC-led government, we urge the law to take action on that criminal. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Yaku.
Thank you very much, Chair. I hope you can hear me. The network here is not that great.
No, that's great. We can hear you very well and see you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. And I want to also thank the SIU for this report. It is quite interesting report. It's quite jarring. It's not a pleasant sight. Honestly, it's just shocking. How much money can just be taken unceremoniously without trail from people who are actually supposed to be serving the community? Because here we've got the building of an old age home, rehabilitation center, athletics tracks, boreholes, youth awards, museum and library, like all things that society really needs. And those are all incredible ideas. And if only they were executed in the right way, we'd be so much further right now than we are. So for me personally, it's triggering how insane the amounts are that have been just looted and taken with no accountability whatsoever. The advocate alluded to the fact that, which is I think a very important key, because all along NLC has been audited. So which company was auditing the NLC during the years covering this investigation? And what is the SIU doing about that particular auditing company? Because I really am starting to believe that they were quite complicit in the outcomes and in the blatantness and the daring nature in which they took this money. And also, I must say that, you know, Minister Patel has not taken this committee very seriously since last year. The year before, we were complaining about his inavailability and how he's never coming to committee meetings, how he always has an excuse not to come to meetings. And I don't think he knows who he really accounts to, because we come from constituencies where we need to report on what is happening. And he does not take us seriously because we are part of his reporting structure, and he's not doing that. And I think, Chair, we need to, as a committee, write to him to say we are not happy with the way in which he has conducted himself in terms of being present in our meetings. And also, not just being present, but accounting in a way that respects us, in a way that is honest to us, because it doesn't seem like he does that. He seems to oscillate a lot between languages, and he has many words that he speaks, but they don't really make sense in terms of the honesty and the truth of what is actually happening in his department. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Yaku. Honorable Malameja.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, honorable members, SIU team led by Advocate Mutimi. Let me take this opportunity, Comrade Chair, and make it clear and be known that it is very easy to speak and very easy to point out, forgetting the responsibility of who you are. It is not easy to govern, because when you govern everybody. And when you govern everybody, you think everybody understands and has got the interests of the country at heart. Now you've got people that you thought they would be doing the right things, only to find out they've ganged themselves to do the wrong things. I'm saying this, comrades, because had it not been the government of the day, ANC-led government, who was so proactive to ensure that they alert the relevant authority to uncover this kind of syndicates, mainly by the people that were trusted to ensure that they take the monies that are intended to the communities to improve the life and the living conditions of our masses, and ensure that they are taken to the book. We really need to applaud the ANC. If the ANC will talk, we act. All this was the contribution of the former PC committee chairperson, Comrade Duma, who when he realized this through his committee, he never sat down and said, no, I'll wait. He acted. The minister who today is not here, whom we understand why he's not here, also continue that. The SAU cannot just come here if there were no deals that been initiated by the ANC. However, for the chairperson, appreciating the good work done by the SIU, I've got just few questions that I just want to be clarified, Advocate Mutivi and the team. Has the investigation revealed no wrongdoing on the side of the junior officials who received, assessed, and approved applications by the NPOs? You see, Chairperson, the rot cannot only be located amongst the senior officials. It is much deeper than at the top, comrade. We must be mindful of that, comrade. The other one, comrade, will be, in the analysis of the investigation team, how was the Financial Intelligence Center not able to flag some of these suspicious transfers of monies? So the chairperson, why do we only hear about the movement of money when there are whistleblowers who come out with information? When we have institutions like the Financial Intelligence Center, we should be able to pick any suspicious transaction of money laundering and swiftly bring it to the attention of the authorities. I'm saying that, Comrade Chairperson, so that we get clarity. But all in all, Comrade, we welcome the report, and bearing in mind this report is not yet completed, and it is common knowledge and commendable that we normally deal with the end product before we point out to other people who are doing everything to ensure that we bring corruption out. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Malamaja. Honorable Mulder.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Previous speakers has actually said a lot. I just want to expand on the following. You know, we have been confronted with so many rhetoric in these committees and in Parliament. One of the examples is, if you look at the website of the National Lottery Board, it says people use this funding to do extraordinary things, taking the lead to improve their lives and communities. Every time you buy a National Lottery ticket, you help make this happen. Now let me congratulate Advocate Andy Mutivi on a well-presented investigation and report. I think the content says it all. And the point that I actually want to make is there are consequences. The two types of consequences to the corruption that's gone this far. The one set, of course, is it threatens sustainable economic development. It threatens ethical values in South Africa. It threatens justice. It destabilizes our society and it endangers the rule of law. It also undermines the institutions and values of our democracy. These are some of the rhetoric words that you find in lots of reports and in speeches in Parliament, etc. This occurrence actually threatens this all. That's one set of consequences. The second set of consequences is a consequence that should happen that we seldom see. The executive should be held accountable for letting this situation deteriorate as far as it did. There should be consequences. People should be prosecuted, and then they should, and in this way, trust should be then reinstated in the lottery. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mulder. Honourable Burns, Namashe. And then the last person will be Honourable Mbuyane before we hand over to the SIU. Honourable Burns, Namashe.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And honorable members of the committee. And I must also, Chair, join members in welcoming this draft report of the SIU. And in welcoming the draft report of the SIU, Chairperson, I think there are certain distortions and misconceptions that we must correct. Yes, Chair. Let us accept that we may have members of this committee who are so fixated with the hysterical obsession about the ANC being associated with corruption. And what probably some of these members forget is the fact that it is the ANC government, the ANC president, who has signed off the proclamation that has enabled the investigation, precisely because it is part of what the ANC government seek to restore, to ensure that in all government institutions where there are traces of corruption, such must be dealt with within our legal instruments. So to attribute this to anything other than the legitimate processes that have been supported by the president, by the minister, and of course the support that would have been given to the SIU. That should be very clear, Chair, that the ANC is committed to uprooting any form of corruption. And secondly, Chair, the chairperson of this committee is a member of the African National Congress. And I would appeal to some of the members in this committee to disabuse their mind of this institutionalized paternalistic posturing, seeking to patronize the chairperson, employing old age tactic of divide and rule. It is the ANC that has consciously taken this decision to ensure that no stone must be left unturned when it comes to corruption. So I want to assure everybody in South Africa that the ANC is steadfast in ensuring that corruption will be rooted out of its institutional systems. Whoever may have joined the ANC for purposes of easy access to resources, that has come to a stop. And Chair, as the governing party, we work within a constitutional jurisprudence that has established doctrines, principles, and presumptions. We have to follow all those processes so as to ensure that at the end of the day, when everything else is brought before the courts of law, it will pass the judicial
muster. Can you switch off your video? You're breaking up a bit.
Thank you very much. It will pass the constitutional muster. So, what, Chair, we want to check, because remember, this is a draft report. Of course, there are clear indicators and or indications, and some work has been done. But there are certain things that I just want to check, just for clarity, from the SIU component. The first thing that, what has the SIU adopted in the interim to present members of the other NPOs to dispose of assets they purchased with the stolen money? We would be interested in knowing what has been done as yet. And the last question, which is the second one. What remedial action is being taken against the directors of the construction and engineering companies that consciously participated in this criminal syndicate? Because there are bodies that govern the functionality of directors and bodies, professional bodies that deal with some of these professional practitioners. Hey, thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Burns Ngamashe, Honorable Mbuyani.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Can I request that my video is not switched on? I'm a rural Kerian, Chairperson, where I'm staying. I can't have the broadband correctly. But Chairperson, let me first welcome the report from the SIU. It's a comprehensive interim report. Now we wish the SIU every success in complementing the remainder of its investigation, so that every bit of wrongdoing is fully exposed and every cent of the public money is accounted for. Chairperson, the report paints a picture of an organized systematic crime syndicate at work, and I welcome the step that the SIU will take on referring criminals' charges to relevant authority. The extent of the alleged wrongdoing points to the important step that the ANC-led government has taken to investigate corruption and wrongdoing. In fact, we can point at many actions by the ANC-led government. We can point to the request by the previous minister to the NLC board to undertake a forensic investigation. When the new administration took in 2019, the new minister immediately put NLC in terms of the account to forensic. So, Chairperson, when the NLC sought to challenge the powers, we were able to deal with that. Let me just pose one question here, Chairperson, from the NLC, the SIU. In terms of, because we are seeing now there are some Twitter being run off of the minister that is not part of the meeting. The minister has apologized, and this report is for the SIU to bring to the committee, not the department. And we further alluded to that to say the minister will come and account as per the department, because this is the entity of the government. We further allowed the minister to come and approach, and he has agreed to come and then to the committee. Chairperson, my question will be in terms of the process moving forward. Whether do you see any process moving forward in terms of the report by the 29th August 2022? Or they said it's November. So we would like to appreciate and also think that by that time the report will be conclusive, and we further do note that the portfolio committee received this comprehensive report at that time. Chairperson, in terms of the proclamation 32 of 2020, by the President of the Republic of South Africa and the President of the ANC to investigate, amongst others, the lower allegation of the corrupt and fraud at NLC. How many cases have you currently investigated, and how long do you think it will take? All the timelines for November is a timeline that has been concluded. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mbiyani. Honorable Motau.
Thanks, Chair, for the opportunity. Chair, let me join members to welcome the report and applaud the work done by SIU. We hope that this report will not gather dust and bring to book those who are responsible. I have only two questions, Chair. What action has been taken to locate and hold people involved accountable? And then my second question will be, has the investigation been able to identify the people who use NPOs, and how are they connected with the NLC officials? Lastly, Chair, the ANC is committed to clean corruption in our government. We support the report of SIU. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Motau. Advocate Motili, I hand back to you for responses to you and your team.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, for the questions raised and comments made. We are encouraged by the welcoming of the presentation, But of course, we'd like to make sure that we conclude the investigations within the timelines indicated, so that ultimately the actions can be taken against those who are responsible. I'll start off with Honorable Cuthbert's questions. What is the total value amount in phase one? The team has reported that in phase one, to date, they have quantified the amount to be about 300 million, but they are still going on to quantify, as there are still 12 further NPOs that still need to be investigated, so the amount may escalate. To date, we have not as yet handed over the referrals to the Hawks and the NPA. As we have identified in the presentation, we will be referring those to the NPA by the 31st of March, and those would include individuals, entities, any professionals that may be involved. The role of the other officials, to date we have identified the officials that that have been involved, and at all levels and at all areas of the processes of NLC, and those that have played the role from outside of the NLC. So we are busy finalizing those, and we will ensure that evidence is presented to all the relevant authorities that require to take action. Recommendations to improve financial controls. Indeed, when I dealt with the slide that deals with the outcomes and consequence management, as part of the systemic improvements, part of what we look at is what the investigation may have revealed relating to people failure, process failure, systems failure, and all of this could be in various functionalities, whether it's finance or risk management, legal or business processes themselves. And we then ensure that we identify those. Our accountants, forensic accountants that are on board, would probably have identified in detail the kind of financial processes that have failed, and we are able then to look at the controls that may be required to improve the environment or even the processes themselves. Honorable McPherson, thank you for the questions. The request for SIU to arrest people and make sure that they go to jail, we take that into account as part of the investigations already, as we have indicated that we'll refer the evidence pointing to criminal action to NPA. It does mean that from our side we have pointed out that evidence and also who it relates to in terms of those who need to be further acted upon when we refer this to NPA and to Hawks. And we remain part of that process and assist that process so that it's handled appropriately and speedily. Honorable Mwate, the question relating to, has the SIU found wrongdoing on the part of the attorneys, the use of trust accounts, and whether they are going to be referred to LPC? Indeed, as I indicated when I dealt with the slides on consequence management, on the extreme right of that slide, there's reference to other regulatory authorities and other professional bodies. So, and I think another honorable member asked later on around whether we're going to refer, you know, other professionals to other bodies. Yes, we are going to. We've identified irregular movements of funds through the trust account, and we will ensure that all those identified firms of attorneys are referred to the LPC based on the evidence that we have obtained. How money can be spent without trace? Honorable Mwasi, I can really assure you that as you might have noticed on the presentation, our investigators and the accountants, forensic, cyber, they've all spent time in analyzing the bank accounts and the movement of funds. And we do that in particular to make sure that we follow the flow of money and trace these funds where they have ended. That is going to assist us with the recovery process from everyone who is involved in this criminal chain. So we will make sure that we continue on that. The issue around the audit, indeed, the investigation reveals that there was a company, or there is a company, that conducted the audit. So it is the investigator's duty at the moment, in conjunction with NLC, just to go and pick up and find the processes that this company did. Because if they have not done their proper function in terms of auditing this project, then we will ensure without hesitation that they are also taken to account. So we will do that, Honorable Mwasi, and then we will spell it out in the report that's coming. Honorable Malimeta, I want to pick up on the question and really agree that this investigation has, over and above the observations we've made, it has indeed exposed the organized syndicates that are really busy siphoning money illegally and on a corrupt basis from the NLC. We will ensure that when we engage with our colleagues in the Hawks and NPA, all of those schemes and syndicates and organized crime must be dealt with effectively. As I indicated, we've received a support from our colleagues at FIC, so we will continue to engage with them so that going forward, they could then flag those kind of instances. We want to again make sure, Honorable Palimeta, to really ensure that we acknowledge the role played by whistleblowers. Of course, we would like to know proactively in instances of this nature where our colleagues in FIC could flag it proactively. But of course, the whistleblowers play a very important role, and most of the allegations that we receive from whistleblowers, and we really make sure that they are protected, their lives are not at risk. We do all we can to ensure that as we investigate, we do not prejudice or put them in harm's way, and we've got processes that we follow. Honorable Melzer, holding the executive to account. I want to assure the Honorable Committee that when it comes to consequence management, we look at all levels. It doesn't matter at what level the individual or the person is, including junior officials. This was the question raised by Mr. Malimeta. The junior officials will also be pointed out who are involved in all these processes. And including if there's evidence that points to that, the executive authority and the accounting authority in the form of a board, board members, and we've already demonstrated that there were actions against, you know, other board members, former board member 1 and 2. And we will continue to assess the evidence to ensure that we don't let anyone off the hook. Honorable Vance Namase, or perhaps just to conclude on Honorable Melvin, yes, on the prosecution side, of course, we will ensure that we refer those matters to NPA and the Hawks and support that process to ensure that the NPA makes an appropriate decision regarding the prosecution. Honorable Benz Namase, I want to pick up on the question that you have indicated. In all government instances where there are traces of corruption, it must be dealt with within the legal instrument. I really agree with that. And the processes that we employ are processes in accordance with the legislation. Firstly, the legislation that regulates our business, which is the SIU Act. And if we make any findings relating to either its referral of criminal offense, the criminal offenses that we identify would have been in terms of the applicable criminal law. Our investigators are appropriately trained to identify that. When it comes to civil litigation, we do that within the framework of the civil law and all other referrals and regulatory authorities. So we want to make sure that the rule of law reigns supreme, to make sure that everyone is dealt with in accordance with the law. Now, the other question is, what has SIU done, or what has SIU adopted to preserve the assets? In terms of our civil litigation powers, we have got the authority to institute civil litigation either to the High Court or to the Special Tribunal. But as I said when I presented, since the inception of the Special Tribunal, we take our civil litigation matters to the Special Tribunal, which was proclaimed by the President in 2019 already. And we have seen that the Special Tribunal, it really speeds up the recovery process, the process of cancelling any of the irregular actions that would have been taken by state institutions, including at an early stage where the investigators are pointing out wrongdoing on behalf of anyone, including preservation of assets, preservation of bank accounts, and all other instruments that the perpetrator may have acquired. So, in this case, there is an example that we have identified in the presentation where we have made preservations, and those assets will be preserved until the civil litigation process is over. The investigators, I have given strict instruction that we must be even-handed, we must be fair, and ensure that we show the same approach on anyone. Where there is wrongdoing and we have done a financial profiling, as you can see, that part of the presentation is the financial investigation. As part of that financial investigation, we do financial profiling of anyone that may have benefited corruptly, unduly, irregularly. And when we come to that finding, we then institute a process to say we have identified his or her assets, this is where they are, and we approach the courts so that it's done within the legal framework to preserve those assets. So that these people who benefited irregularly should not continue to benefit, and also that they should not dissipate these assets before the process is over. There's a question still by Honorable Ben Namase. What remedial actions are taken against directors, professionals, and other practitioners? Just to also assure you, Honorable honorable member, that in terms of these NPOs or NPCs or other entities, other companies that are involved, when we return an adverse finding against them and we identify their involvement, we also ensure that the actions are taken not against the juristic person, which is the company, but also the individual direction. And we'll continue to do so, to an extent that these directors should also be declared delinquent, if appropriate. And again, there's a legal status, there's a legal approach, there's a legal requirement to declare the directors delinquent and to hold them to account in any particular way. So we will make sure, and all the other professionals, whether it's engineers or any others that are identified, we will ensure, in line with our consequence management approach, that the professional bodies regulating this profession are informed, evidence is sent, and we support that process to hold them to account and take appropriate action against them. I'd like to really just welcome the comments by Honorable Mbuyane. Yes, indeed, agreed that we are dealing here with clear evidence of organized crime. And the referrals to NPA and HOCS will be made as soon as we concluded the evidence and the evidence pack and the timeline that we have put. We will ensure that they are referred. Now, in terms of the timelines and the reporting lines, the legislation that governs our work says from time to time we may give progress reports to the president as required, but of course we also give status reports to the honorable committee. We also give progress reports to the state institution. But the ultimate progress report is given to the president, and the final report is also given to the president. So we have identified timelines. We said in April we will give a report to the president, and that because the overall investigation would not be concluded, in law that would be a progress report to the president. It would be an interim report which the president may, in his assessment, either make public or make it available to the committee as the committee may request. And the November deadline is then the deadline that the team, after assessing all that needs to be required, and then put that deadline as the overall investigation deadline. And once we have completed the whole investigation, by law, we are required to submit the final report to the president. Honorable Chair, I think those are the questions that were raised by the members. We welcome the comments, really welcoming this presentation and the report to the committee. We will ensure that we stick to the timelines. We will ensure that the actions that we have taken or identified are acted upon speedily in the interest of holding those who are responsible to account. So I would like to pause here, Honorable Chair, and thank the Honorable Chair and the Honorable Members for the opportunity to respond. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Advocate. We look forward to the Phase 1 report. You say that will be going to the President in April. We hope that you will avail yourself to come and speak to us as a portfolio committee and through us to the people of our beautiful land, South Africa, because we know that with 1 cent that goes to corruption, we are disadvantaging our poor communities. So we are committed by the call of the President to fight corruption, And we note your logo advocate, which is a cobra ready to strike. And we're saying strike, strike fast and strike swift, because we want everybody who is guilty of corruption and malicious maladministration to meet the full might of the law. So we thank you very much for coming to us today, and we look forward to further engagement until all corruption is rooted out in this entity, but of course, as the government, we are saying wherever corruption is found, it must be dealt with. Thank you very, very much. I think we
thank
can...
You. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. I think we can excuse the SIU. I see there's a further hand from Honourable Cuthbert. Honourable Cuthbert.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Just to support your suggestion about when that report becomes available, if we can kind of pin that in on our program for the next term to make sure that we set up that engagement with the SIU so that they can take us through the report. I find it very useful for them to come here and explain it to us and provide context which you wouldn't have otherwise had having read it ourselves. So I think I'd like to support you on that front, and we'd appreciate you know, the invitation being accepted by the SIU.
Thank you, Honourable Cuthbert. Yes, we are all together in this fight against corruption, but we will definitely program it into our PC program for next term. Thank you very much. Can we have the agenda so that we can move on to our next agenda item, and thank the advocate and his team and whoever else is on the platform for having come here to listen to the presentation by the SIU. We thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Can we be excused?
Yes, you are.
Thank you very much.
Can we have the agenda, please? Is Mr. Ermans off the platform?
No, I'm on the platform. It's Margaret. She's supposed to share the thingy. There we go, Chair.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you very much, committee members, for your robust interrogation of this update from the SIU. And I think we will agree that it's work in progress, and we will also make sure that we invite the minister to come once we have the final report, the final phase one report. So I think we are doing quite well in terms of time. It is now 10 to 12. It looks like we will be able to conclude our meeting. We will conclude our meeting by our normal 12 o'clock, and we're doing quite well in terms of time. So our next agenda item is a consideration of the draft program, and I just want to go to a letter that that explains why we are looking at a revised program, and we will ask the committee secretary to take us through the proposed revised program. But given the letter that I received from the department, it gives us, I'm going to just read directly from the letter. Given, this is the second paragraph of the letter, given the concerns raised by the stakeholders in this round of public comments, that is the round that that we just concluded on the, I think on the 3rd of December, remember that we had, we advertised for inputs. So given the round of that public comments, the department's officials have requested that they be given time to address the technical matters raised during the commentary period. Some of the comments raised
have possible unintended consequences to institutions such as libraries, the education sector, and the broadcasting industry. The comments require careful consideration, which necessitate that due consideration is afforded. It is for this reason that the department requests until the end of April to consider the submissions before providing its input to the portfolio committee. That is the letter that was received from the minister, and we have therefore, because we want a, I think it's in everybody's interest that we have a thorough process, and we take all our submissions that we have received into consideration and that proper work be done on it. I think, committee members, you will agree with me that we will then look at the end of April for the department to come back to us. So if there is no objection from committee members to that request for a postponement, then I will ask the PC secretary to flight the proposed agenda and to speak to the changes. Thank you.
Chair, thank you. Margaret is flying. In light of the decision, Chair, we worked on the draft program for the committee's consideration, and the CAB would have been started, deliberations on CAB would have started on the 8th of March. So technically for 2 weeks we were required to look at the program and amend it accordingly, Chair. The first item that we have that changes is on the 8th of March. We were requesting the DTIC to give us status on the SEZ's, Chair, which is quite important. Then, Chair, on the 9th of March, although the DTIC and SABS, SABS and NRCS briefed the committee initially on the TIOTA quantum panel, the emphasis was not on the remedial action addressed to the Minister of Trade and Industry, and in terms of the referral, the committee report should reflect whether they are in support of the action and express a view on that. Hence, we requested the DTIC to and NRCS and SABS to come back and focus specifically on the remedial action address and on in, the, in that regard. Then, Chair, we will then have a the consideration of the first draft of the second and third quarter financial and non-financial performance of the DTIC. Chair, we have completed the initial draft of that report. Hopefully by, with your guidance, we will most likely release it to the members on Friday for their, and we most likely will request for their comments, for the concluding remarks and recommendations in that regard. On the 15th of March, Chair, we will receive a briefing by the Competition Commission on its economic concentration report, Chair, and we will then also formally consider the second and third quarter financial and non-financial performance of the DTIC's report. Then on Wednesday, Chair, we will receive a briefing by the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission on its financial and non-financial performance of for the 2021-22 financial year to date, means the first three quarters, Chair, and we'll also ask the Companies Tribunal to provide the same to the committee. Then on the 22nd, the program remains exactly the same, Chair. The Minister or the Department will brief the committee on the, and it's on the Economic Reconstruction and Recovery Plan. And then on the 23rd, we will receive a briefing by the National Consumer Commission on its financial and non-financial performance, Chair, and then we'll consider the first draft report of the Public Protectors Report on that day. On the 29th of March, that item remains exactly the same, Chair, where we will get a briefing by the DTIC on a strategic and annual performance plans, which will reflect on SONA and the budget as it relates to its mandate. Then on the 30th of March, we will have a short meeting, Chair, just to consider the formal consideration of the report on the public protector regarding to the OTA matter, and then we'll consider the second quarter program Chair, all matters that has fallen off the program, we have captured and we will include it in the second quarter, the next second quarter program for this calendar year, for the committee's consideration on the 30th of March. So nothing will fall off, fall through the cracks, Chair. We've captured all everything that was taken off and that will be considered in the second term. But that is the program that we have in front of us, Chair, which we'll then submit to the House Chairperson. Of course, it changes substantially the agenda items on our program, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Secretary. PC members, there is the proposed changes to all the agenda and the reasons why we have changed it. Can I then just check whether there's any I see Honourable Mbuyane. I recognize you.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. Chairperson, as you outlined, that there's a letter from the department. I proposed that we adopt the program as it's presented by the Secretariat. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have a mover for the adoption of the program. Can I check if there's a seconder to that proposal?
Yes, Chair.
Ms. Mwaksi, Chair.
Okay.
Chairperson, I second.
Honourable Mwaksi, you second it.
Yes,
thank Chairperson. You. Thank you very much. So that...
Chair, you muted yourself, Chair.
It's been a long morning. Thank you very much. So you circulate the amended... amended program then to PC members.
Chair, yes, I will do that, Chair, but also submit it for your signature so that we can submit it to the House Chairperson, because there's a number of changes to the significant changes to the program.
Okay, thank you. No, that's fine. Thank you very much. That concludes our agenda for today. Can I just ask you to speak to our next meeting as a PC Secretary?
Chair, our next meeting will be on the 8th, where we will receive a briefing by the DTRC on the SEZ, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, members, for a very fruitful session. Have a very good day further. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.